We want to find Jesus everywhere because I believe that Jesus is the world's first and greatest humanitarian. And he has turned the world upside down. From the very moment that he said, you cannot love God unless you love your brother, he placed the power and the emphasis for this world to be saved on you loving one another. Look at your neighbor and give him a high five. Say, I love you. Right on. So Jesus is all about the uplifting of humanity. God loves you this much. Anybody ever tell somebody, I love you this much? Well, Jesus loves you this much, always has and always will. For the Bible said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son for every one of you. How many are grateful that Jesus came because God loved you? Right on. Today, we're going to continue with thoughts on where is Jesus and having Godfidence. Say that with me, Godfidence. We want to have Godfidence, or it's a way to say confidence in prayer. We want to be able to pray like the kids say. We want prayer to be the first thing I do when I'm facing something. Prayer is the first thing I rely on when something's happening in my life. Godfidence is having complete faith and confidence in God. Say, I have complete faith and confidence in God. To have Godfidence, we need the word of the Lord. How many know that to be true? How many reading your Bibles this morning? Say, yes, Pastor, I do read my Bible. Keep reading your Bible, because if you stand on the word, you need balance. When you read the word, you're going to find that God is not only a mystical God, he is a practical God. There are so many things that we didn't know about him before that we know now, that were a mystery then but are no longer a mystery. There are things that we understand now, or there are mysteries right now in our lives that one day as we move forward by faith, God's going to reveal them and he's going to make them happen for you. Amen. So we got to balance it. We've got to have mystery, and we got to have practice. For my mentor used to tell me, John, the mystery of God is found in the history of God. If you study the word, study his history, it will help you to trust God when things don't make sense. Any of you ever have that happen in your life? Yeah, stuff just don't make sense. But yet you went into the Bible and said, wait a minute, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Okay, I can handle this, right? Oh, he also says that all things work together for good, right? There's so many things in the word that will keep you moving forward no matter what. Say, I'm moving forward no matter what. So that's why you got to obey the word of God, because part of it is mysterious. It's just like when your parents say, I need you to do this, and it's too hard to explain it to you right now. You just need to do it to get from point A to point B. Same thing is with God. There are mysteries that have been revealed, but they were a mystery to you when he first told you to do it. But later on in life, you realize it made sense. Obeying God is about making good sense, even when I don't understand. See, I obey God because he loves me, and I trust he has my best interest in mind. How many believe God have your best interest in mind? So as I trust him and move in it, even though I don't always understand, I begin to understand him, and then I begin to obey him because God just makes good sense. Somebody say, it makes sense to love your brother. Somebody say, it makes sense to forgive others. Right on. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Everybody say, live it. That's what understanding is. You're going to live it. Say this loud. Ready? I need in prayer. Amen. Let's stand on our feet, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's read a beautiful story of the widow woman. It's a parable. It's a parable that Jesus gave to remind you to always pray and never give up. Are you ready? And Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not, right on, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God and regarded not man. So this is a pretty independent guy. He doesn't care. Everybody just say, he just don't care. He does what he wants to do. Here we go. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. So right away in the narrative, he's telling you that there's a guy with a lot of power that just don't care. Then you've got the most vulnerable person in the culture having the confidence or the Godfidence to make her request known. Wow. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a... Amen. Everybody say importunity. That's what it means. He's like, dude, I just want to get on with golfing. Here, take it. You're interrupting my luncheon, or you're interrupting what my life is. And you know what? You want to get to a place where you pray, where you just feel like you're bothering God. Just bothering in prayer. Keep going. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. Amen. I want you to read that one more time. Jesus is always coming into your life. When he shows up, are you going to have faith for what you ask for? Everybody say the answer is Jesus. Or this, when Yeshua returns, will he find confidence in you? Will he find you believing and praying and say, Lord, I'm standing here. It's been 20 years, but I still believe and I pray. So with that being said, say this loud. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Lord, I now relinquish all. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Give a praise offering as you sit down for our Father. He is our Father. There are three ways to develop confidence in prayer. Going boldly in prayer. Believing when you pray that God listens. Number one is this, be intentional. Number two, be physical. Number three, be spiritual. Say them with me. Be intentional. Be spiritual. I love the physical nature of praise this morning. And when you praise God that way, guess what happens? Altar calls happen. I can't go to the clock and say, Lord, there's not time to pray for people. How many are still here? Right on. You know, the church world is set up that way. We're just set up to appease you. And if praying for people goes against the grain, imagine if Jesus wouldn't stop one of his services to pray for people. So it's important that I have the ability and the courage to pray for people when they need to be prayed for. Because I'm not going to have this many people believing all at one time. There's a lot of power available when I get this many people praying and believing and agreeing. So thank you for being intentional, getting physical with God, and being spiritual. Amen. Let's look at number one. Let's be intentional. Now, being intentional is this. Be really or really mean it. Look at somebody, say, really mean it. Really mean it. See, to be intentional is action performed with awareness, done deliberately and consciously on purpose. Say, I'm doing this on purpose. I'm asking for help on purpose. I'm looking to God on purpose. This is not in vain. I've got a situation. I need you, Lord. Amen. The Bible says in James 5:16, when he's speaking about why you should pray and never give up, and James is trying to reinforce praying and reinforce healing and believing God for impossible situations, he says this, the effectual, fervent, or I really mean it prayer of the righteous person makes much power available or availeth much. Let the church say amen. Say, I am a righteous person. And you're a righteous person because the Lord declared that you are righteous. I don't care where you were last night. You're here this morning. And the Lord says you're righteous because it's not because of the things you've done, but it's because of his mercy. Let the church say amen. But the mystery, because we talk about mystery in practice, there's a lot of mystery to prayer. He follows up this this idea of praying effectually and meaningfully, he applies it by this. He says, Elijah was a man of the same nature as you. He was just an average guy who fervently prayed one day that the rain not fall. And for 3 years and 6 months, the rain did not fall in northern Israel. Somebody say amen. He had a purpose for that prayer. He was trying to get the attention of the people of northern Israel that they will turn their hearts to God. Do you have a reason for your prayers this morning? Then watch the mystical power of God work and do marvelous things just because you ask, just because you believe. Amen. But you know, how did he do it? He did it because he prayed. He stopped the rain because he prayed. Now, the insight into it is this, and I can't give you the practice. I haven't evolved enough or gotten enough scientific research information to tell you how Elijah's prayer exactly did it. But there's an explanation out there. And God knows. Just like he knows the mysteries in your life and what they're going to become. Everybody say, God knows. Ask me a question. Say, Pastor, how did God know? Now, ask me like you mean it. Say it. Because he's a genius, man. That's I. My father's a genius. So pray and never give up. Amen. How about the medicine of prayer, though? So we're going to do a little science on this because some of the mystery has been solved. According to the 2013 Pew Research poll, over half of Americans pray every day. Isn't that good? No wonder you're so blessed. Half of you pray every day. And in 2012, the poll found that over 75% of Americans believe that prayer is an important part of their daily life. Amen. Other polls indicate that even atheists, I knew they did. I knew it. Even atheists. I told you about my friend. Anyway, I heard you say, oh, God. He thought my car was going to crash. And he said, oh, God. Right. I thought you didn't believe in God. All right. But some atheists and religiously unaffiliated individuals admit that sometimes they pray. Everybody say, prayer is good. Scientists have begun to consider the potential tangible or measurable effects of prayer. And this research suggests that prayer may be very beneficial. No duh, right? So here are five scientifically supported benefits of prayer. Are you ready? Right on. Number one is prayer improves your self-control. I love this one. I love this one. Studies have demonstrated that self-control is like a muscle. Your self-control is like a muscle that it gets fatigued sometime. You can only do so many push-ups before your muscles give out. How many know that to be true? Except for Corey and maybe Solomon. They can do like thousands of them anyway. But here's the deal. Similarly, activities that require self-control are fatiguing, making it more difficult to make good choices the more you have to use your self-control muscle. That's why some of you get in trouble. You're tired. You're just tired. No wonder you're a bad person. Even Elijah, a man of like passion, let me tag it on. He got tired and asked God, can he just kill himself? It's in the Bible. After winning the greatest victory, he wanted to die simply because he was hungry and tired. Everybody say halt. H-A-L-T. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If one or all these things are happening in your life, calm down, get something to eat, or get some rest and ask the Lord for help. Amen, amen. That's very cool. No, he's not bothering me, son. Just let him stay. That's my new grandson. Amen. It's first Sunday service. He had to hear Papa go for it. But think about it. You're more likely to lose your cool or engage in mindless eating when you are mentally exhausted. I knew that to be true. I've had Haagen-Dazs just disappear from my freezer when I was on a long day ministering. I get home, it's 11 o'clock at night. Everybody know you shouldn't eat Haagen-Dazs at 11 o'clock at night. Let the church say amen. Research indicates that prayer can help you get more out of your self-control muscle. Research participants who said said a prayer prior to mentally exhausting tasks were better able to exercise self-control following that task. In addition, other studies demonstrate the prayer reduces alcohol consumption, which may affect the exercise of self-control. Findings such as these suggest that prayer is an energizing effect. How many have found prayer to be energizing to you? Well, your doctors, your scientists, and your intellectual community agree. Prayer is good for you. Someone say amen. Somebody say God already knew. Right on. The Bible says, let your moderation be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. So I don't want to be flailing when God shows up. I want to be self-controlled. And don't worry about anything, but instead, pray about everything. Or it opens by, be anxious. I love that. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your heart, make your requests known unto God. And when you do that, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. If you know that to be true, give God a praise offering. Amen. Number two, prayer makes you nicer. Right. That's why I know some Christians don't pray, because they mean. No, you ain't praying for me. You ain't praying. No, man, you don't pray for me. Man, no, you do pray for me because you need to get nicer. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody in here is nice. But prayer will make you nicer. Research has found that having people pray for those in need reduce the amount of aggression they express following an anger-inducing experience. How many ever had an anger-inducing experience in here, right? Right, just this morning. Anyway, let's keep going. In other words, prayer helps you not to lose your cool or lose your temper. Somebody say, glory to God. For the Bible says in Ephesians, be angry, but sin not. In other words, you made me mad, but I'm going to go clean the garage. You made me mad, but you know what? I got a better priority. Let me go fix this thing that I keep procrastinating about. Amen. Getting over procrastination and doing things that you should be doing is a great way to sin not. Somebody say, get her done in Jesus' name. That'll keep you saved. Right on. Number three is this. Prayer makes you more forgiving. Right on. Researchers found that having people pray for a romantic partner or a friend made them more willing to forgive those individuals. So the Bible says it this way. Jesus says, but to you who are willing to listen, he says, love your what? And do what else? Do good. And you got to follow the list. Right. The deal is that the Bible gives instructions because it's psychologically good for you. Before there was a Sigmund Freud, there was a Jesus and a Paul that knew what behavior needed for you to behave better. Because behavior is what being saved is all about. It's the way I behave every day. And for those times that behavior fails, his mercy endureth forever, and it is new every morning. Someone say amen to that? So he says, love your enemies, not just ask. Do good to those who hate you. Give them something. Send them a text. But don't tell them, you know I hate you, but I'm sending you a text. No, that's not the way to do it. That's just like a person coming to you. Anybody ever person come to you and say, listen, I forgive you. Huh? No, really, I forgive you. Forgive me for what? What are you talking about? That's like the silliest thing I've ever heard. That's like texting somebody saying, you know what? I'm praying for you because I hate you today. Don't do it. Just be sensible and treat people like you love them all. And then you'll love them all. That's what Jesus is saying. So do something good for those that hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who what? Amen. Because you'll feel better. Number four, prayer increases your trust. Prayer will increase your trust. Recent studies found that having people pray together with a close friend increased feelings of unity and trust. This finding is interesting because it suggests that praying with others can be an experience that brings people closer together. How many enjoy praying with one another this morning? Some being prayed for at the altars, some just receiving God right where they're at. The singers are singing, the band is playing, and we're just having a celebration on the Sabbath day that is practical and meaningful and powerful. That could change your life forever. Right on. Social prayer may thus help build close relationships. So here it is, folks, who need practice with social prayer. There's a church schedule. That's Monday night. Ralph and Christopher, and they will meet you here at 6:30 if you want to engage in some social prayer every Monday night at 6:30. Everybody say amen. Anytime you want to stop in, you're welcome. Come join them for prayer at 6:30. And number five is prayer offsets the negative health effects of stress. Prayer will offset the negative health effects of stress, because sometimes there's no way to avoid stress. I mean, your kids are going to do what they... I didn't mean to look at you guys and then think about my kids, but, you know, it's all good. Your kids will send you down that path, man. Or you might have a neighbor or a friend, someone that has the ability to raise your stress level at the most inopportune time. Inopportune time. So here's the deal. Researchers found that people who prayed for others were less vulnerable. Let's clear that up. People who prayed for others were less vulnerable to the negative physical health effects associated with particularly financial stress. Also, it was the focus on others that seemed to be the contributing to the stress buffering effects of prayer. Praying for material gain did not counter the effects of stress. So if you're just praying for yourself all the time, that didn't help you emotionally right at the moment. But if you want to bring it down to a place where you can actually heal yourself, pray for others and yourself, but include others and yourself, because it's always Jesus and it's always God, and prayer is always right on time. So thinking about the welfare of others may be a crucial component of receiving personal benefits from prayer. Now, there were a couple of people at the altar today who came to me, and as soon as I asked them what they were there for, they were there for somebody else. Now, that didn't mean that they did not have a need. Well, one said, I'm praying for this grandfather. And so God is giving them release as they're praying for somebody else, because this morning, he's on my heart. He's on my mind. At the church, say amen. Then another brother came up and he stood here and said, I'm praying for my family. And then begin to name all of them. Everybody say, make your prayer intentional. So when this young man stood here and began to name them and call them by name and say, I am here in front of this group of people, and I don't care what anyone thinks about how vulnerable I am right now, I'm here because I believe that if I ask God for these people and for their comfort and breakthrough, God will respond to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Do you realize the courage it takes to step out of your seat? It's a lost art to have altars during a church service. And that's why we are not progressing as much in the Christian community. I was challenged in my sleep one night about this. And the Lord says, I don't care about what everybody else does. You are a Pentecostal church, and you pray for people during those services. Well, the church won't get much larger. You know what the Holy Spirit said? I don't care. The people that will come will have their needs met. So I said, okay, cool. I'll stop looking at the clock like I'm looking at right now. You're looking at your iPhone. But this is what the Bible says about this. It says this, when you do things, do not do them, or let's not selfishly do it selfishly or out of pride. I'm sorry, let me start it again. When you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Look at the person next to you. Just look at them. Just go. Just look at them. Keep. Here we go. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Because there's miraculous, supernatural, life-liberating power when you are intentional about what you came to God about. There's power in that. Let the church say. Say it loud. Say it one more time. Third time for the Holy Ghost. And have confidence this morning. Let's stand on our feet right on. I got a couple more on that one. I've got be physical when you're praying. Very effective. And spiritual prayers. I can't wait to talk to you about spiritual prayers. That's going to be fun. Knock, knock. Extraterrestrial. How many aliens you people know? That's just a precursor for spiritual prayer. Do I speak in the tongues of men and angels? Do I speak in the tongues of celestial and terrestrial, extraterrestrial and terrestrial, and have not love? There's something powerful to spiritual prayers, and you should embrace it. It'll be good for you. But let's bow our head and close our eyes all around the room. Actually, I know quite a few extraterrestrials. I was going to make a dumb joke and say somebody in my family, but no, I'm not going to say that. But anything outside this earth is extra or celestial. God, angels, they don't live here. They just work here for you. So there are other beings in the universe. Your Bible told you so. You've been believing in other beings for years, and you still haven't seen the flying saucer. Amen. But that's all right. We thank you, Jesus, in this room. We thank you for being in our midst and ministering to our needs. Father God, remember every prayer that was lifted for the fervent, effectual prayer, the I really mean it prayer. Makes much power available. And if one man, very common man, could make the rain stop for 3.5 years because he had a purpose, so can I pray with purpose and know that God will respond to every need according to his riches and glory. Now, consider your need this morning as we close in prayer. And consider the idea that where would I be without Jesus? And let him enter into your moment right now. And pray this prayer with me. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. I believe Jesus made a decision out of love and obedience. He went to the cross and died for all humanity. I believe on the third day, the Father God brought him back to life again. I believe that same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave now lives in me, empowering me to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of my Father in heaven. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's acceptable. Sometimes it's perfect. But it's always Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give God praise on your way out the door. Amen. Right on.